Now, back to the Bob Morning Show, brought to you by DJ's Home Services. Total Country Bob FM.
Bob Almanac, and they're going to start with
Bob Almanac bonus track.
So yesterday, remember we talked about the debut of the Reebok Pumps basketball shoes, the
sure
Reebok
do.
Pumps 1989.
Yes,
and my friend the Tin Man mentioned to me, texted to me, messaged me that he has a daughter who is a goalie, and they had Reebok Pumps goalie skates and hockey skates, which I didn't remember.
I don't remember that either.
That. And he said they bought them used. One worked, but the other one didn't. So you can only pump up one. I said, well, you know, the one thing you should have a backup on all of those, should be able to hook it up to an air compressor. Right?
Well, you would think.
You should just hook your shoe up. You'd be like pumping up a tire.
Yeah.
You know, you could use a bicycle pump or one of those little ones that you can get. Plus, it also reminded me of this from SNL.
So if your holiday table ain't looking too full, get a Nike Turkey. It's adjustable. And pump it. Pump it up.
If it doesn't say Nike, it's not a turkey.
Pump it up. They did the Nike Turkey where you could pump the turkey.
Make it a little.
They're making fun of Reebok.
Yeah,
and make
that's
the turkey
good.
Bigger and serve a bigger family.
That is pretty good.
From I think that skit was the next year, 1990. They did it Tuesday, November 26th, 331st day of the year. The first U.S. cabinet meeting held at George Washington's house Philadelphia. Maybe that's what incoming President Donald Trump will do. He'll just have it at Mar-a-Lago.
Good.
With his cabinet selections. How many cabinets? So it was Secretary of State, Secretary of the Treasury. That was Thomas Jefferson and Alexander Hamilton, respectively. Secretary of War, which eventually became Secretary of Defense, Henry Knox. And Attorney General Edmund Randolph. So what's that, five?
Four or five.
So what are there now?
Oh, like,
let me see, hang on.
25?
How many cabinet 20? Positions are there? 15.
Oh,
15 executive. But does that include the DOGE, Department of Government Efficiency?
I don't think so.
They should have. George Washington should have had one of those. But he didn't realize how big government would get.
No.
He's, and the founding fathers.
Sadly.
Probably
I don't think
rolling
they
in their graves
it, right.
a little bit because they had the thought of you know, strong state governments and the
yes.
central government not being that influential.
Less is more. They did not, we've not developed that theory.
So the first cabinet meeting, 1791. 1861. You may wonder why we have West Virginia and regular Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
Why did that happen? West Virginia was created because they seceded from the Confederate state of Virginia. So Virginia, pro-slavery, the other part of Virginia, anti-slavery. Mm-hmm. So they just seceded out, and it stayed that way even after reunification. After the Civil War in 1865, West Virginia is still there. West Virginia, we wouldn't have that. We wouldn't have that line in the John Denver song, "West Virginia, Mountain Mama."
Right.
Take me home, country roads.
Do you think East feels left out because we have a West Virginia? We have North and South Dakotas and Carolinas. We have no East states. Can we? Could we split Montana in half and have East Montana?
Well, no. Well, Washington, parts of the state of Washington and Oregon, they want to. They want to get away from Seattle and Portland.
Yeah,
so I can see that being East Washington, East Oregon.
Yeah.
Or they just want to go into Idaho. Yeah. I don't know.
Write your congressman and get that done.
Exactly.
Please.
1861 is when that happened. 1917 here this day. Little NHL theme here.
Right.
National Hockey League officially formed in Montreal.
1917, huh?
But it wasn't the modern NHL. We really didn't get that until we got the original six, like in 1945.
Okay. Well, we got something in the mid, like 1926, didn't we, or something?
Well, some of those teams were in there, but the original six is really seen as the beginning of the modern
and
National
Hockey League. Was in the mid-40s.
Yeah. So, National Hockey League, because they just celebrated their 100th anniversary.
Right.
Back in 2017. 7 years ago. I remember that. Howard Carter, this date in 1922.
Now, when he was a young man, he never thought he'd see people stand in line to see the boy king. How'd you get so funky? Did you do the monkey?
Born in Arizona, who did the Babylonian king?
Yeah, Steve Martin.
Wow, what a bit that
on
was.
On SNL with the little, with the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band.
Yes.
In the background, playing the instruments and doing the background singing
that
on SNL. So this was the date that archaeologist Howard Carter entered the tomb of King Tut.
Yep.
They found something eventually.
A few things, yeah.
He expected to find the stench of death. And instead it was like a Glade plug-in, is how he described it. So that was kind of nice.
Oh, rosy and yeah. Flowery. Very
1956 nice. Here this date.
Do you think you're a good shopper? How much do you think this hat is worth? How about this handbag? What would you bid for this diamond-studded wristwatch? All this and a fabulous full-length mink coat will be yours if you make the best estimate of the price of all these beautiful things. Someone watching the program from home this week will win it all as NBC Television presents a new game of bidding, buying, and bargaining. The Price is Right. And here to conduct the most exciting shopping spree on television, Bill Cullen.
So this is the original.
I recognize that voice.
That's Don Pardo.
Sure it is.
And you got Bill Cullen.
Oh.
One of the great.
Couple of heavyweights.
One of the great game.
Yes.
TV game shows and game show host ever.
Yep.
He was the original host. So if anybody ever asked you the trivia question, who was the original host of The Price is Right? The correct answer is not Bob Barker.
No.
It was Bill Cullen, 1956. Bob Barker wasn't the host until they revived the show in whatever it was, 1972.
Right.
Or three or four, somewhere in there.
Yep.
First half of the 1970s. So the old Price is Right debuted, and it wasn't quite the same show that we would eventually see in the 70s. But you look at the show now, for the most part, it's basically the same format.
Yes,
as
for sure.
Did, but the people coming up to Bidder's Row, and then, you know, it was only a half hour, so they only had three pricing games.
Maybe
and
there was
the showcase.
Maybe there was fewer games and more just, you know, kind of identifying prices on things.
Yes. Obviously, the prices have changed. And maybe the approach has changed, but basically the setup and everything and the general plan of the show is basically the same. And, of course, Drew Carey is now hosting it.
And yeah. Don Pardo. Well, that was good.
1960.
The club was given a new name, symbolic of the new spirit of unity. The erstwhile Washington Senators will hereafter be the Minnesota Twins.
The Minnesota Twins got their name on this date. It was kind of funny because October they announced they were moving, and then they'd be ready to go in 61.
Yes.
Now, nowadays, it's hard to move a franchise that quickly. It's happened, but the Twins made it happen quickly within a month of them announcing that they're coming. They had a new name. They weren't going to be the Senators because, you know.
No, not only, in Washington, D.C.
You only have two Senators for each state.
Yeah.
It's just not enough. You don't have two. There's plenty of Twins. And, of course, it was after St. Paul, Minneapolis. There was a lot of talk about where the team would play.
Mm-hmm.
Would they play at Midway Stadium? Would it be St. Paul? Would they build a stadium in Minneapolis? They already had Metropolitan Stadium in Bloomington, which is a perfect spot because it was kind of right in the middle.
Yep.
Not exactly in the middle. That would have been Midway. But equidistant from downtowns.
How many times do you think you got to Met Stadium? Quite a few?
I mean, you seven or eight.
Okay. All right.
A few times here or there, doubleheader.
Yep.
When my aunt threw a pen out onto the field from the right field bleachers,
wooden
bleachers. Yeah, she really wanted Hoskin Powell's autograph.
Yeah.
And so she threw the ball and a Paper Mate pen. I can still see the black Paper Mate pen on the warning track.
Wow.
At Met Stadium. They threw the ball back to her, but not the pen.
Well, maybe Hoskins needed a pen.
They're out of 39-cent pens.
Yeah.
So that actually delayed the game against the California Angels. Somewhat embarrassing.
Wow.
I remember being there on Reggie Bar night.
Okay.
That was good. Well, right. Speaking of that kind of stuff, 1979.
Good afternoon to you. I'm Pat Summerall, and this is the former great coach of the Oakland Raiders, John Madden. And John, I haven't had a chance to see the Buccaneers this year, but you have. Tell us a little bit about them.
Well, they're very impressive, Pat. Last year, they had a good defense, and they still have a very good and strong defense.
So what's significant about that, this is the first game ever that Pat Summerall and John Madden worked.
Wow.
1979, Vikings at Buccaneers. A Vikings 23-22 victory for the time being, delaying the Buccaneers' celebration of winning their first ever division championship.
Yeah, with Doug Williams at quarterback.
And yes, and Jimmy Giles and Leroy Selman.
So that was their first game together or their first Vikings game?
No, their first game together.
Wow, right in the middle of the season.
Yeah. I mean... you could tell John Madden a little bit more subdued.
Yeah,
at that he hadn't really developed the whole Madden approach.
Right. It was coming
and persona.
Yeah,
but first game together, Vikings won 23-22 with
That's great trivia question.
Yeah, exactly. Man. Tommy Kramer, quarterback, 23-22. Nice. And the funny part of that beginning of that broadcast is they were Brent Musburger did as you are looking live.
Yes.
At Tampa Stadium. And they were greasing up the goalposts because they were assuming that in the event that they won and clinched the Central Division, it was the Central Division then, that they were going to tear down the goalposts because, you know, Tampa Bay, what did they win, one game in their first 2 years?
Yes.
And then here we are in 79, just a few years later. Yeah. They made all the way to the NFC Championship game before losing to the Rams, like 9-0. Yeah. Yeah, that was a state in 79, 1989.
And here's the star of America's Funniest Home Videos, Bob Saget.
Bob Saget, the America's Funniest Home Videos program debuted this date on ABC. It actually started as a special, and then they realized they got so many videos they could turn it into a weekly hour show.
Yes.
And
it was huge.
It was huge because more and more people had home video cameras, obviously with VHS.
Yep.
Smaller formats, easier formats, formats that you didn't have to actually have developed and then send in. You'd send in your little reel and how would that work? So now with the video cassette recorders and the cameras and the camcorders, it was easy to do this, and it was hilarious.
It was
good.
A lot
of funny stuff came in.
Yep.
19, and it's still, is that still on the air? It doesn't Carlton from, because Bergeron,
I think so.
Bergeron hosted it.
Yeah.
And then Carlton from Fresh Prince, was hosting it.
Yep.
I think it's still on. We're going to move up to 1998.
I've accomplished everything I want to do in wrestling. I've had a great career, and I want to come on your show tonight and officially announce my retirement. Family has been great. I love you guys, and thanks for sticking with me. And this really helps me segue into being the next president of the United States. We're going to get back on track in the year 2000.
Hulk Hogan announcing his candidacy for the president in the year 2000. That would have been interesting had he carried through on that, because, of course, 2000 was the Gore-Bush election with the hanging chads and everything. You can see Hulk Hogan doing a promo talking about hanging chads and what he's going to do with Al Gore and George W. Bush.
Right.
Let me tell you something, brother.
Because
he does a whole lot more hanging and banging than Al Gore does.
He does. I think he throttled him.
He didn't really retire because he continued to wrestle in the WCW and then later after that. And now, of course, he was at the RNC. And I'm surprised that he hasn't been appointed to a cabinet post for Trump.
Well, it could still happen, maybe.
Because he's gone with Linda McMahon. He's gone with some non-conventional choices, obviously. Some of the non-Washington insiders, bureaucrats, etc. So that was his state, 1998. We're going to move on to birthdays now.
All right.
Hello. Who is this? Johnny Carson, this is your president speaking. Ah, no kidding. What can I do for you, Mr. Sarnoff? No, not the president of your network. The president of the United States. Well, why the heck are you calling me in the middle of the night?
There's Rich Little.
Doing
I can't
the
play
voices.
The whole thing, but he's doing Johnny Carson and Ronald Reagan from his album that he did, The First Family Rides. Again, I had that album, and I played it over and over and over again. And some of those bits got played on the radio.
Oh, I believe
the big
yeah.
card game yes. where he does Reagan, Carter, Ford, and Nixon.
Yeah.
All playing poker. That was the one that really kind of charged up that album. But the whole album is funny, and he
that's impressive.
The man of a thousand voices, Rich Little, is 86 here today. We mentioned Vikings earlier. We got more.
The former Green Bay Packer, Jan Stenerud, checks in now. Picture all over the paper today. Stenerud returning home. Ball will be placed at the 29. It'll be a 39-yard field goal attempt. Greg Coleman holding.
You think he makes it?
Stenerud is perfect from this distance.
I think so.
Does it again.
39 yards.
Jan Stenerud here today is 81.
Wow.
Former kicker, long time with the Chiefs and with the Packers, and there he is kicking for the Vikings in 1984 at County Stadium.
Oh, nice.
Against his old team, the Packers.
And, of course, he beat us, helped beat us in the Super Bowl.
Yes, in Super Bowl IV.
With the Chiefs.
He did, yeah. And he actually went to Montana State on a ski jumping scholarship.
Didn't
Norway.
Know they had those. Yeah.
He was, no, I don't know.
Right.
You don't hear a lot about NCAA ski jumping.
Right.
Let's take you live on ESPN 8, the Ocho.
Yeah.
But that's Jan Stenerud. He spent, 84, I think at least two seasons, 84 and 85 with the Vikings and retired. You know what kicker came after Jan Stenerud for the Vikings?
I don't.
Chuck Nelson.
Oh, yeah.
Remember Chuck Nelson? Yes, he wore number, I'm going to say number one.
One. That's
one that I remember there. So, Jan Stenerud, happy birthday today.
Yeah, don't you hear the wind blowing?
Those are the Supremes, but no Diana Ross. She had left. And the singer that took her spot, Gene Terrell.
Oh, sure.
Singing lead here on Stoned Love. Which was controversial. They thought it was about drugs.
Right.
Gene Terrell, 80 today. We got more music, 70s. John McVie. That's Lindsey Buckingham singing, of course.
Yes.
John McVie didn't do a whole lot of singing other than in the background, but he could play a mean bass.
Sure could.
Bass player for the group Fleetwood Mac, married to Christine McVie, who we lost.
Sadly.
He's no longer with us.
How old's John now? He's got to be up there.
John is 79. Ooh. So is this guy.
Didn't work out quite as you planned, did it?
You set me up, didn't you? The run, the chase, getting stuck in the door, everything. My mental health is just a sick game to you, isn't it?
Rack 'em up, let's play again.
He was the bachelor on the nanny. So that family had a nanny and a butler.
Butler?
Yeah. And I think he was a bachelor, too, because I don't think he wasn't married. But he was Niles the butler on the nanny. Funny guy, Daniel Davis. Recording role on Star Trek The Next Generation, too.
Okay.
As Mr. Moriarty, you know, Sherlock Holmes.
Oh, yeah.
Dr. Moriarty, right?
Yes.
Wasn't Dr.
Yes.
Moriarty
yes.
Sherlock Holmes' archenemy?
Bad guy,
he
yeah.
played that role there. Daniel Davis, 79.
I never seen
another Davis. Linda Davis.
A little better looking than the other one. My estimation.
Yeah, I would say. 62.
And sometimes
both her and her daughter can sing quite nicely.
That Hillary Scott gal.
Yeah, yeah. Lady A.
Lady Annabelle.
Does he love you? Does he love you?
Of course, singing with Reba. And I think
big
you mentioned that.
Song,
Linda
man,
Davis,
yeah.
62.
Like a postcard out of nowhere.
Joe Nichols
oh,
is
yeah.
48 today.
Give like him.
Nice voice.
Somewhere, sunny and 75.
Be good to get a request in for him today.
Let's get some pop music in here.
Okay. I don't know this.
I was just about to say, I do not expect you to know this song.
No.
Oh, it's very popular. Natasha Bedingfield.
Oh, no.
British pop
new,
singer is
new
43.
To me. Okay.
And Lil Frizz is our rapper of the day. Lil Frizz is...
mine doesn't have an R in it.
Lil Fizz. Lil Fizz. It's Frizz. But
is
you know, that's
Frizz?
When they have
okay.
a bad, when he has a bad hair day.
It's Frizz.
It's Lil Frizz.
Yeah, right.
Lil Fizz, which you like to have with your root beer. Lil Fizz. is 30, whatever it is, 37, 38, 39.
Somewhere
it's like
in
I'm
there.
Doing the clock game on Price is Right. Right.
220, 230.
39 for Lil Fizz.
All right, gone but not forgotten today. He's got a university named after him, Harvard University. I wonder if this guy was super smart, too. John Harvard.
Well, he was a clergyman.
He was a clergyman. He was born on this day in 1607. Vernon Lefty Gomez. You know who he reminds me of? Do you remember, what was the, he was
Dan nickname. Schatzeter.
No, his name was, the nickname Pete, was The Blade.
Pete Filson.
He was a left-handed guy for the Tom Hall.
Oh, yeah. Was I remember it? Him.
Tommy Hall. I mean, he was tall and very lean. Lefty Gomez was a great pitcher, won 5 World Series with the Yankees. He was 6'2", about 145. I mean, rail thin.
Slim
and
Pickens.
A whip, yeah, 1908. Eric Severide is a Hall of Fame newscaster and was born on this day, 1912.
This was Eric Severide in Washington. Thank you and goodbye.
And goodbye. That sounds
that
so final.
That was his farewell.
That
was, oh, his,
that
farewell
was his farewell.
Broadcast
okay.
on CBS.
Okay. Eric Severide there. 1912. He's one of us. Charles Schulz, he of course gave us Charlie Brown, all the great Peanuts characters. Born on this day, 1922. This reminds me of the Hitchville Christmas Show because their piano guy does this.
You know,
to a T.
It's surprising how many of the male Peanuts characters are already bald. And have male pattern baldness.
Right.
And either are bald or are balding.
Follically challenged,
Schroeder,
certainly.
Schroeder, of course, had a full head of hair.
Right. 1922 for St. Paul's Charles Schulz. Singer Robert Goulet, 1933.
You know, he's an actor, too.
Yes,
entertainer,
he was very
working
funny,
on
actually.
Broadway and Pirates of Penzance and other things.
Was he making fun of my hair?
Look, I'm in a hurry. I've got to call Bingo in the Barracuda Lounge.
Yeah, you're not going anywhere, show tune. Just tell me, was he making fun of my hair or not? Was he?
He says you look like Pete Rose.
Pete Rose?
He's the all-time hits leader.
And there he is on a cameo at a very special episode of King of Queens.
That's not a glowing endorsement of a hairstyle.
No.
You say you look like Pete
for
Rose,
man
right?
or woman,
right?
To be honest.
Exactly. Anyway, Robert Goulet had great comedic talent as well as a fine singer and crooner. 1933. Speaking of outstanding talents and singers, what about Rock and Roll Hall of Fame at Tina Turner? She did some acting as well.
We just lost her. Was it in the last year?
Yeah,
it's been recent.
Yeah.
Recent.
She was born on this day in 1939, the great Tina Turner here. And we have one more, Bruce Paltrow. It sounds like TV theme time,
it
Jim.
Is, yes.
Is this saying elsewhere?
Yeah, St. Allegius. It's the kind of hospital I'd want to get sick and visit.
Yeah, right. Also had a hand in The White Shadow. Remember that?
Oh, yeah, of course.
And some other things. And the father to Gwyneth Paltrow, fine actress. Bruce Paltrow, born on this day, 1943. They're gone, but not forgotten.
I wonder if he bought one of the candles that she sold. You remember she sold some candles
yes.
with unique scents. And
yes.
I wonder
yeah.
if he was
Maybe.
Around to purchase one of those. Maybe. Hey, would you like to start a Bobathon with High Horse, On the Verge, or Unwound?
I think High Horse would work.
WQPM, Princeton, WLKX, Forest Lake, KDDG, Albany, KDDG, HD1, Albany, St. Cloud, KDGY, Faribault, KLCI, Elk River, KLCI.